Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take complex information, stack up your sources, and unearth the most important nuggets of knowledge to get you well-informed quickly and thoroughly. Today, we're unpacking a company that might just be the quiet tech giant of the insurance world, the Progressive Corporation. You know the quirky ads, you know Flo, but beneath that familiar brand, how did they become so formidable, and what does it mean for your understanding of an industry often perceived as, well, a little boring?
That's right. And maybe not so boring after all, once you dig in. For this deep dive, we've taken a comprehensive investment analysis of Progressive, or PGR, to understand not just what they do, but how they do it so effectively, and what their unique approach means for their dominant position in the highly competitive property and casualty insurance market. Our mission really is to distill this robust material into clear, actionable insights for you, helping you see the insurance world through a new, much more informed lens.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to explore their truly innovative business model, their cutting-edge technological advantage, how they're navigating some of the biggest industry challenges, and what truly drives their impressive financial performance. You'll walk away with a much richer understanding of one of the industry's titans and perhaps a completely new perspective on insurance itself. So let's begin this fascinating exploration. When you hear Progressive, most of us immediately think of car insurance, right? Thanks to those incredibly memorable ads. But the analysis shows they're much more than just a single product company. Headquartered in Mayfield Village, Ohio, their strategic vision is actually to become the primary destination for a whole range of financial products, not just for consumers, but for businesses too. So how do they actually break down their vast business operations to achieve that incredibly ambitious goal?
Well, their strategy is all about deliberate diversification and, crucially, leveraging their core strengths across distinct customer segments. The report organizes their operations into three primary pillars, each contributing uniquely to their financial performance and strategic objectives. And this isn't just, you know, arbitrary categorization. It's a blueprint for how they approach and conquer the market. First up, we have personal lines. This is the absolute cornerstone of Progressive's business. It represents the vast majority of their premium volume.
Right, this is the big one.
Exactly. In 2024, it generated a staggering $63.5 billion in net premiums written, or NPW, which is essentially the revenue they collect from policies. And that marked a substantial 18% increase from the prior year.
18% growth on that base, that's huge.
It is. The sheer scale here is remarkable. In personal auto alone, which makes up about 95% of their vehicle premiums within this segment, they added over 4 million policies in force in 2024 alone.
Wow, 4 million new auto policies.
And this growth wasn't confined to a single channel either. They saw significant increases in both their agency channel, up 17%, and their direct-to-consumer channel, which surged by 25%. Now, within personal lines, while vehicle products are the main growth engine, they also have property products.
Homeowners, renters insurance, that kind of thing.
Precisely. And this subsegment is strategically vital, particularly for bundling homeowners and renters insurance with their core auto policies. It's a smaller part of the business. Sure, 3.5 million policies in force and $3.1 billion in NPW in 2024, but it's absolutely crucial for customer retention. Bundled customers stick around longer.
Makes sense. Lock them in.
But there's a catch. Property insurance is inherently more volatile, mainly due to its exposure to natural catastrophes. In 2024, for example, catastrophe losses added a significant 24.8 percentage points to its 98.3% combined ratio.
Oof, 98.3, cutting it close to breaking even there.
Very close. That combined ratio means for every dollar of premium, they spent 98.3 cents on claims and expenses. And this really demonstrates their underwriting discipline. Progressive is actively managing this exposure. They're carefully exiting the dwelling property market in some areas, which is more susceptible to weather events.
So pulling back where the risk is too high.
Exactly. They're doing this to preserve capital and focus it on core owner-occupied home products bundled with auto. They're ensuring they're not taking on undue, unmanageable risk.
Smart.
Disciplined. Then there's the second pillar, the commercial line segment. This provides crucial diversification and has been a consistent source of profitable growth. This isn't just a side project. It focuses on auto-related liability and physical damage insurance, plus general liability and property insurance, specifically tailored for small businesses.
So not just personal cars, but business vehicles, too.
Right. Key markets for them include for-hire trucking and, interestingly, transportation network companies, or TNCs, like Uber and Lyft. The report notes these TNCs made up about 15% of the segment's premiums in 2024.
15% from ride-sharing? That's significant.
It is. And this segment performed very strongly. It reported $11 billion in NPW in 2024, an 8% increase from 2023. And it delivered an excellent underwriting profit with a combined ratio of just 89.4%.
Very profitable, then.
Definitely. So for you, this means that if you're a small business owner, maybe running a local delivery service, or if you regularly use ride-sharing services, you're likely interacting with Progressive's commercial footprint without even realizing it. They're quietly a huge player in keeping those wheels turning safely and efficiently.
Okay, so they've clearly mastered segmenting their market, individuals, homeowners, businesses, and excelling in each area. But with such diverse offerings and customer types, how do they actually reach all these different customers effectively? It sounds like a huge logistical challenge.
It would be, but they address it with what the report calls a dual-channel powerhouse distribution strategy. And this model isn't just about having two ways to sell. It makes them incredibly resilient and provides a multi-pronged engine for growth. It lets them adapt seamlessly to diverse customer preferences and changing market dynamics.
Dual-channel powerhouse. Okay, break that down.
On one side, we have their direct-to-consumer DTC channel. This is the one most of us are probably familiar with. You can buy policies directly through their website, over the phone, or via their pretty advanced mobile app.
Yeah, the online route. Convenient.
Exactly. And this channel is powerfully fueled by their iconic brand recognition we all know, Flo, and substantial, consistent marketing investments. It primarily appeals to customers who prioritize convenience and prefer to self-serve, making their own decisions quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, what's the other side?
The other side, and equally vital, is their independent agent channel. This isn't just a secondary option. It's a vast network comprising over 40,000 independent insurance agencies spread across the United States.
40,000 agencies. Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge network. And this channel is absolutely crucial for reaching customers who prefer personalized advice, especially for more complex needs like commercial lines or those bundled policies we talked about, where a human touch and expert guidance are highly valued.
So direct for convenience, agents for complexity and advice.
Precisely. The power of this dual approach lies in its adaptability. It creates a robust and flexible growth engine capable of meeting a wide range of customer preferences and market dynamics simultaneously.
It's clear they've built an iconic brand and a massive distribution network. But you also mentioned earlier they're essentially a technology and data analytics firm that sells insurance. That sounds like a truly powerful combination, almost like a stealth tech giant wearing an insurance hat. How deep does that technological edge truly go? Is it just a sleek app or something much more foundational?
Oh, it goes far deeper than a sleek app. The analysis points out that their sustained and significant investment in technology is arguably their most potent competitive advantage. We're not talking about minor tech upgrades here. Their annual information and communications technology, or ICT, spending is estimated to be around $2.2
billion. $2.2
billion
a year on tech.
That's the estimate. And this isn't just about customer-facing tools. It's deeply embedded in their entire operational fabric. From risk assessment to claims processing, it gives them a real structural advantage.
Okay, so where does that money go? What's the core of this tech advantage?
Well, one of the foundational elements is telematics and usage-based insurance, UBI. Progressive essentially pioneered UBI with its Snapshot program. And the report highlights they've collected insights from an astronomical over 14 billion miles of proprietary driving data.
14 billion miles. That's almost unimaginable.
It really is. And this isn't just big data. It's their data. It's an unparalleled data set that competitors simply can't replicate overnight. This massive amount of information allows for incredibly precise risk segmentation. It means they can align pricing much more closely with individual driving behavior.
So better drivers potentially pay less.
Exactly. And it's not just about fair prices. It actually promotes safer driving and directly enhances their profitability by accurately matching risk to premium. Building on that, artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning, ML, are woven throughout their entire operations.
AI too. How are they using it?
In lots of ways. They're using generative AI to optimize marketing campaigns. The report mentioned a remarkable 52% lift in total conversions from that. Beyond marketing, predictive analytics and AI-powered models accelerate claims processing, improve fraud detection, and execute dynamic pricing strategies that can adapt almost in real time. They even collaborate with leading AI firms like H2O.ai to ensure they stay at the cutting edge.
So it's really embedded everywhere.
Absolutely. And finally, their digital customer experience is also a key part of this tech advantage. They offer a seamless digital experience through advanced mobile apps and online portals, allowing customers to easily get quotes, manage their policies, file claims, the whole nine yards. This is a strong draw for younger, tech-oriented demographics and a key driver of both customer acquisition and retention.
It sounds like a virtuous cycle.
The report emphasizes exactly that. It creates a powerful, self-reinforcing competitive cycle. Superior tech and data lead to more accurate pricing, which, amplified by their marketing prowess, drives industry-leading growth. This growth, in turn, generates even more data, further refining their analytical models and pricing algorithms, continuously strengthening their competitive moat. It's a loop of innovation and advantage that's very hard for others to break into.
So we know Progressive is this tech-driven insurance giant, incredibly sophisticated in its operations. But no company, even one this advanced, operates in a vacuum, right? Especially not in an industry as vast and complex as insurance. Let's zoom out and look at the broader U.S. property and casualty, or P&C, insurance industry. The report describes it as mature, cyclical, and highly competitive. What's the temperature of this market right now? What are the major trends shaping it?
Yeah, context is key here. The analysis shows the industry has definitely been through some significant challenges in recent years, but it's now viewed as being in a strong recovery phase, specifically looking at 2024 into 2025. And this rebound is really reshaping the competitive landscape.
Okay, recovery. What does that look like?
Well, one of the most positive signs is improving profitability. The industry has really turned a corner, is how the report puts it. It achieved its best underwriting performance in over 15 years in early 2024. The aggregate combined ratio, that key measure, again, improved dramatically to 94% in the first quarter of 2024. That's a huge jump from 102% in 2023.
Wow, 102 down to 94. That's moving from losing money on underwriting to making a decent profit.
Precisely. And this remarkable improvement is largely thanks to insurers implementing aggressive rate increases, which are now fully earning through their policies. Coupled with a welcome moderation in claims cost inflation, things aren't rising quite as fast. Consequently, the industry-wide return on equity, ROE, is forecast to reach a more sustainable 9.5% to 10% in 2024 and 2025, finally getting closer to the industry's cost of capital.
So healthier financially, what about growth?
That's the next point, moderating growth. After a period of really rapid premium growth, nearly 10% annually from 2021 to 2023, driven primarily by those big rate hikes, industry growth is expected to decelerate slightly, but it's still projected to be a strong 5% to 8% in 2024 or 2025.
Still solid growth then.
Definitely. And as insurers reach what's called rate adequacy, basically, their pricing now sufficiently covers their costs, the focus shifts. It moves from just restoring margins to actively retaining market share and achieving profitable growth. The fight for customers heats up again.
More competition coming back.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting for the industry. There's a significant investment income tailwind. The higher interest rate environment has created a substantial boost for insurers. Rising reinvestment rates are lifting portfolio yields. They're projected to increase from 3.7% in 2024 to 4.1% in 2025. This provides a really substantial lift to overall industry earnings, helping to offset any expected moderation in underwriting profits.
So they're making more money on their investments now, too.
Right. So for you, this means we're looking at a healthier, more stable insurance market overall.
But also one that could become even more competitive in terms of pricing in the future as companies vie for that market share. That context is absolutely vital. Understanding the broader landscape helps us appreciate Progressive's position even more. Now, in this recovering but still intensely competitive market, how does Progressive actually stack up against its rivals? Who are the big players in their primary battleground, auto insurance, and what does that competitive hierarchy look like?
Well, the U.S. auto insurance market is essentially an oligopoly. That means it's dominated by just a few large, well-capitalized firms. It's not a free-for-all. It's a really tight race at the top, and Progressive is right there, a leading contender.
Okay, so who are the main players?
When we look at market share, Progressive stands as the second largest auto insurer in the country. They hold a market share somewhere between 15.3% and 16.7%, according to the analysis. And they are in a very tight race for that coveted top spot with State Farm, which currently holds a share of approximately 18.3% to 18.8%.
So neck and neck for number one, basically.
Pretty much. Other major competitors you definitely recognize include GEICO, which is a subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway, and Allstate. The analysis also highlights a significant trend of consolidation within the market. The top five insurers are increasingly capturing a larger share. Their combined market share grew to 63.6% in 2024, up from 62.5% in 2023.
The bigger are getting bigger.
Exactly. And Progressive has been a primary driver of this consolidation. They posted a remarkable 24.5% increase in direct premiums written in 2024. That shows their aggressive push and real success in gaining ground, often at the expense of smaller players who are those slower to adapt.
Which leads us to wonder, how do they manage to expand their share so significantly in such a mature and competitive environment?
That's the key question, isn't it? It's not just one thing. The report talks about Progressive building a durable competitive advantage, a moat, essentially. And what's fascinating here is that their moat isn't just one single thing, but a powerful combination of factors that are incredibly difficult for competitors to replicate. It's a multi-layered defense and offense.
Okay, so beyond flow in the get-go,
yeah.
What's Progressive's real secret sauce?
At its core, their biggest advantage is superior underwriting and pricing. This is their absolute cornerstone. Progressive has decades of meticulous data collection, remember those 14 billion miles, and has made sustained investments in advanced analytics. This gives them an unparalleled ability to segment risk with incredible precision and, crucially, to price policies accurately for each individual risk.
So they know who the profitable customers are.
Exactly. They attract and retain those profitable customers while skillfully avoiding mispriced risks. What's more, their operational agility allows them to implement frequent rate revisions, often 3 to 4 times per year in many states.
Much faster than others, usually.
Much faster. This means they can adapt to changing loss cost trends much more quickly than their peers, which proved absolutely critical during the recent inflationary periods. Then there's their operational efficiency and scale. Progressive leverages technology, including sophisticated AI and claims processing, think photo-based estimating for auto repairs, and advanced digital tools for customer service.
Making things cheaper and faster.
Right. This not only significantly improves the customer experience, but also drives down their loss adjustment expenses. This efficiency directly contributes to a better combined ratio and provides them with the flexibility to offer more competitive prices to the right customers. And of course, we can't forget brand recognition and marketing prowess.
Hard to ignore flow.
Exactly. Through decades of consistent and significant advertising spend, Progressive has built one of the most recognizable brands in the insurance industry, maybe even across all industries. This strong brand equity is a critical asset, especially in their direct-to-consumer channel, because it reduces customer acquisition costs and creates a direct line to millions of potential policyholders.
It seems like the tough times actually helped them.
Crucially, yes. The report notes that the industry turmoil of 2022-2023 actually strengthened Progressive standing. While the entire sector struggled with profitability, their superior data analytics and operational agility allowed them to identify the higher loss cost environment and implement rate increases more rapidly and accurately than competitors. This discipline enabled them to restore their margins ahead of the market and then pivot back to an aggressive growth posture in 2024 and 2025, capturing significant market share while many peers were still struggling or focused on fixing their own books.
So the crisis widened their moat?
Effectively, yes. It proved the resilience of their model under extreme pressure.
It certainly sounds like they're operating at a very high level, but the insurance industry is also heavily regulated. Regulation can be a barrier to entry, sure, but it can also be a threat. What does the report say about this regulatory environment? How does it impact Progressives, especially with their tech focus?
That's a key question about external pressures, definitely. The P&C insurance industry is indeed heavily regulated, primarily at the state level. This creates both substantial barriers to entry for new players and presents evolving challenges for established ones like Progressive.
What are those barriers for newcomers?
Well, the barriers to entry are pretty formidable. Newcomers face massive capital requirements to meet solvency standards, basically, proving they have enough money to pay claims. They also need state-by-state licensing across potentially all 50 states, which is a really time-consuming and expensive process. And of course, building a trusted brand and a comprehensive distribution network from scratch is incredibly difficult and takes decades, realistically.
Okay, so it keeps new players out, but what about challenges for Progressive?
For existing players, there are evolving regulations to constantly contend with. There's growing regulatory scrutiny concerning the use of AI, data privacy, and the fairness of complex pricing models. States are increasingly demanding transparency in how insurers use sophisticated risk models, particularly for catastrophe-prone areas where pricing decisions can have a huge impact on consumers.
And that affects Progressive more because they rely so heavily on that tech.
That's the potential risk, yes. While increased compliance costs and scrutiny affect all players, these trends pose a unique long-term risk to Progressive. Why? Because their primary competitive advantage is their highly sophisticated data-driven segmentation. So any regulations that limit the use of granular data or restrict certain types of algorithms could disproportionately blunt their sharpest competitive weapon. It could potentially level the playing field for less advanced competitors. It's a very real dynamic that they have to continuously navigate.
All right, we've covered Progressive's innovative business model, their tech edge, their competitive standing in a recovering industry. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty, their financial performance. The report gives us a fascinating five-year historical review from 2020 to 2024. That period includes the pandemic, inflation surges, recovery. Quite a ride. What did the numbers tell us about how Progressive handled it?
Yeah, this period was a really robust test of their business model. And the key financial metrics reveal not just impressive scale, but also incredibly disciplined execution through some pretty wild swings. It's a story of navigating a roller coaster and, frankly, emerging stronger.
Okay, let's see the highlights. Top line growth.
Let's look at the specifics. Their net premiums written, NPW, their top-line revenue, is nearly doubled in just 5 years. It expanded from $40.6 billion in 2020 to a massive $74.4 billion in 2024.
Nearly double in 5 years. Impressive.
It is. This reflects both incredibly strong policy in force growth and, of course, the necessary rate increases they implemented. Yeah. We're talking 20% growth in NPW in 2023 and an even higher 21% in 2024.
Okay, what about profitability? The combined ratio.
Right, the combined ratio, crucial measure. After a highly profitable 2020, where they hit 87.9%, margins were definitely pressured from 2021 to 2023 due to soaring claim severity, peaking at 95.8% in 2022.
95.8, so making just over 4 cents profit on the dollar from underwriting that year.
Exactly. Very thin margins. But the dramatic improvement back down to 88.8% in 2024 really showcases their remarkable ability to react decisively and restore those underwriting margins much faster than the rest of the market.
That turnaround is key. What about investment income?
Net investment income. This has been a strong and actually accelerating source of growth for them.
Yeah.
It surged from $1 billion in 2020 to $2.8 billion in 2024.
Nearly tripled.
Yeah. And this isn't just luck. It's a function of a larger investment portfolio fueled by all that premium growth and the clear benefit of rising interest rates. As for net income, the bottom line, it naturally fluctuated with the industry cycle. A robust $5.7 billion in 2020, then it dropped to $722 million in that tough year, 2022. And then surged back to an impressive $8.48 billion in 2024.
Big swings. And return on equity.
Return on equity, ROE, also mirrored this variability. It peaked at a huge 35.6% in 2020, fell sharply to 4.4% in 2022, but then surged right back to an incredible 35.5% in 2024.
35% ROE, that's exceptional for almost any industry, let alone insurance.
It really is. The ability to generate such high returns at the peak of the cycle is a hallmark of their value creation potential. This whole five-year period, you know, it really provides a robust test of the business model, clearly showing their resilience, ability to navigate cyclicality, and emerge stronger.
Those are some dramatic swings, definitely. But that 2024 recovery looks incredibly strong. It points to a deep-seated discipline that's clearly embedded in their operations. The report even mentions a very specific operational goal. Grow as fast as you can at or below a 96 combined ratio.
Mm-hmm.
How does that commandment, that level of discipline, manifest in their day-to-day underwriting and claims management?
Yeah, that operational goal, grow as fast as you can at or below a 96. It's truly their guiding star. It's mentioned frequently. It illustrates their unwavering commitment to underwriting discipline. It makes profitable growth the absolute priority, not just growth for its own sake.
And do they actually hit that target?
Their consistent achievement of this goal is really remarkable. Their historical performance consistently shows that they can hit this objective, even while growing rapidly. For instance, the strong results we saw in the first half of 2025, an impressive 86.1% combined ratio, while still growing net premiums by 14.7%, are clear indicators that this disciplined approach is firmly in place.
So they can walk and chew gum at the same time, grow fast, and stay profitable.
Seems like it. And this isn't just about, you know, setting the right prices. It's also about claims management effectiveness. This discipline is actively supported by their continuous investments in claims technology. These innovations improve both the accuracy and efficiency of handling claims, which directly helps them control loss adjustment expenses, the costs associated with settling claims. So, for you, this means Progressive isn't just chasing growth. They are laser-focused on profitable growth, which is a critical distinction for long-term value creation and financial stability.
Beyond the premiums they collect and the profits they make from underwriting, insurance companies also benefit from something called insurance float. It's essentially money they hold before paying out claims. How does Progressive utilize this unique advantage, and what does their massive investment portfolio look like?
Right, the float. Yeah. This is a critical structural advantage insurers possess. Insurance float is that large pool of premiums collected from policyholders that the company gets to invest for its own account before those claims are paid out. It essentially provides a stable, very low-cost source of capital that they can put to work, generating additional income. It's like getting paid to hold money.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
How big is their float, or rather, their investment portfolio?
As of December 31st, 2024, Progressive's investment portfolio composition totaled a massive $80.25
billion.
$80 billion. And it's a very conservative portfolio, which is typical for a P&C insurer that needs liquidity and safety. The vast majority, $75.3 billion, to be precise, was invested in high-quality, investment-grade fixed maturity securities. Bonds, essentially. A smaller but still substantial portion of $4.3 billion was allocated to equity securities, stocks, providing potential for higher long-term returns but with more volatility.
Conservative. Mostly bonds. What about the returns they're getting? The yield trends?
Good question. Looking at yield trends, the portfolio's pre-tax recurring investment book yield has steadily increased. It went from 2.4% in 2022 up to a robust 3.9% in 2024.
So rising rates help them significantly there.
Absolutely. That rising yield on such a massive and growing asset base is a powerful direct contributor to Progressive's earnings growth. And what's compelling here, as we touched on, is the current environment where both primary engines of their business underwriting, shown by the improving combined ratio, and investments, with rising income, are firing in unison.
The stars aligning, basically.
Kind of. This synchronicity is leading to exceptional earnings power and that dramatic surge in ROE we discussed earlier. However, the analysis wisely cautions that this synchronicity is often characteristic of a cyclical peak. Future competitive pricing pressure in insurance or potential decline in interest rates could eventually pressure reinvestment yield, creating dual headwinds that they'd have to navigate.
Yeah.
It might not last forever.
We've seen that Progressive has navigated some big financial swings and truly thrives on its disciplined approach. Let's dig deeper into the recent past, specifically the period from 2023 to 2025. This has been a truly dynamic and challenging period for the entire P&C industry. How exactly has Progressive managed to navigate these significant macroeconomic headwinds, inflation, supply chains, and emerge so strongly?
Yeah, the analysis shows they've definitely had to adapt to significant external pressures. But their inherent agility and proactive strategy have been really key factors in their success. They don't just react. They seem to anticipate and move decisively.
Okay, like what? Inflation was a big one.
Huge. So inflation and pricing strategy. The surge in inflation from 2022 to 2023 significantly increased claims costs, particularly for auto repairs and replacement parts. Costs went way up. Progressive responded proactively, implementing substantial rate increases across their book of business. But what's really noteworthy is their strategy of frequent rate changes, revising personal auto rates 3 to 4 times per year in every state.
That agility again.
Exactly. This agility allowed them to quickly adapt to those changing loss cost trends and restore underwriting margins much faster than many of their competitors, who might only file rates once a year. Then there were persistent supply chain disruptions. Remember trying to get anything during that time?
Oh, yeah. Cars, parts, delays everywhere.
Right. Global supply chain issues directly impacted the auto insurance sector by increasing the cost and the wait times for vehicle parts and repairs. That, of course, put upward pressure on claim severity, the average cost per claim. Progressive's operational efficiency in claims, including their use of AI-powered photo estimating and a vast network of repair shops, was crucial in helping to mitigate these pressures, getting cars fixed faster and managing costs.
So technology helped buffer the supply chain issues.
To an extent, yes. And finally, changing driving patterns post-COVID also presented a variable. There have been shifts in driving behaviors, like changes in total miles driven, times people are on the road, congestion patterns. While accident frequency trends were actually favorable in 2024, fewer accidents per car severity was up, and overall patterns remain a key variable.
And that's where their data comes in handy.
Precisely. Progressive's telematics data from its Snapshot program provides a critical advantage here. It allows them to monitor these trends in near real time for quicker adjustments to their pricing and underwriting models. So for you, this means that even subtle shifts in the economy or your own driving habits are being analyzed and responded to by your insurer, often with surprising speed.
It's clear that broader economic and social changes significantly impact insurance. But what about the increasingly visible threat of natural catastrophes? We seem to hear about more frequent and severe weather events every year. How does Progressive manage its exposure to these unpredictable and often devastating events, especially in its property segment?
Yeah, this is a really important question, especially for the property segment, which is directly on the front lines of climate impacts. Exposure to natural catastrophes is a major risk, particularly from things like severe convective storms that includes hail and tornadoes and, of course, hurricanes.
How bad was the impact recently?
Let's look at the impact of catastrophe losses. In 2024, these losses added a substantial 24.8 percentage points just to the property business's combined ratio.
25 points just from catastrophe.
Almost. To put that in perspective, the report notes Hurricanes Helene and Milton alone contributed 6.3 points to that figure. And the industry as a whole is grappling with elevated catastrophe losses. Early 2025 California wildfires, for example, were expected to add 3 percentage points to the entire industry's net combined ratio for the year.
So huge, unpredictable cost. How do they protect themselves?
Primarily through their reinsurance strategy. Reinsurance is basically insurance for insurance companies. Progressive uses a robust program to protect its balance sheet from the financial shock of large-scale events. This reinsurance is absolutely critical for their risk management. Their disciplined approach also includes strategically reducing exposure in the most volatile markets, like pulling back from certain coastal areas or wildfire zones to actively manage their net risk.
So they buy insurance on their insurance, and they try not to insure the riskiest places.
That's a good way to put it. And for you, this means understanding that a part of your premium, whether it's for home or auto, covers not just your individual risk, but also contributes to the collective pool that protects against the massive, unpredictable risk of major natural events.
Despite these significant challenges, inflation, supply chains, catastrophes, the report highlights that Progressive has not just survived, but continued to execute its growth strategy, leading to those significant market share gains we talked about. What does their recent performance, particularly in Q2 2025, tell us about their ability to grow and capture market share, even when the environment is tough?
Yeah, what's truly compelling here is how they've not just endured the headwinds, but actually thrived and capitalized on the market dynamics. They've really been on the offensive, seizing opportunities where competitors might have stumbled or pulled back.
How did Q2 2025 look?
Their Q2 2025 performance demonstrates this perfectly. Progressive reported strong Q2 results with earnings per share, EPS, of $5.40. That significantly beat analyst expectations. For the first half of 2025, they achieved an impressive 86.2% combined ratio while simultaneously growing net premiums written by 12%.
86 combined ratio and 12% growth. That's strong.
Very strong. It clearly demonstrates a continued ability to balance aggressive growth with excellent profitability. And this is translated directly into those market share gains. Their personal auto market share increased by a notable 1.5 percentage points in 2024. The report said that was their largest single-year gain in 15 years.
15 years, wow.
Yeah. And this wasn't achieved by luck. It was through adding over $5 billion in premiums written and growing policies in force by nearly 2.4 million in the first half of 2025 alone.
How did they fuel that growth? Just better pricing.
Pricing was key, but they also leaned into their advantage with marketing investment. They actually increased their marketing spend to a record high in the first half of 2025. This was a strategic move, capitalizing on a market where some competitors may have been pulling back on advertising due to their own profitability pressures. Advertising expenses alone rose by $900 million year over year.
So while others retrenched, Progressive pressed the accelerator.
Exactly. It shows a company that is incredibly confident in its competitive position, willing to invest aggressively, and ultimately reaping significant rewards in terms of market share and profitable growth.
It's clear Progressive is generating significant profits and expanding its market reach. Impressively so. But what happens to all that capital they're accumulating? How does Progressive balance supporting its ambitious growth targets with reliably returning value to its shareholders?
That's a great question. Their capital allocation strategy is actually quite unique and distinctly shareholder-friendly. They aim for both profitable growth and consistent returns. They've found a way to marry aggressive growth with clear rewards for their owners.
How does that work in practice? Wow. Dividends?
Yes, primarily through their dividend policy structure. It's kind of interesting. It combines a regular, small, quarterly payout with the potential for a significant annual variable dividend. This variable dividend is typically declared in the fourth quarter and is directly based on the company's actual performance for the year.
So if the company does well, the dividend is bigger.
Exactly. It directly links profitability to shareholder returns. And this policy can lead to really substantial payouts. For instance, the report mentions that in January 2025, they paid a variable dividend of $4.50 per share. That was on top of their regular $1.50 quarterly dividend.
$4.50 plus the regular. That's a big jump.
It is. It brought the total annualized dividend for 2025 to $4.90 per share, a significant payout reflecting their strong 2024 results. But despite these potentially large payouts, they maintain a relatively conservative payout ratio. The percentage of earnings paid out as dividends, it was approximately 27.5% as of mid-2025.
So they're keeping most of the earnings to reinvest.
Right. This low ratio means that a substantial portion of their earnings is retained to fund future growth initiatives, while still providing a meaningful and attractive cash return to shareholders, especially when performance is strong. For you, this indicates a management team that believes strongly in both reinvesting in the business to drive future expansion and directly rewarding its owners.
Beyond dividends, are there other ways Progressive actively returns capital to shareholders? Share buybacks, maybe?
Yes, absolutely. Share repurchases are another important tool they use in their capital allocation strategy to enhance shareholder value.
How active are they with buybacks?
Well, the board of directors periodically renews authorizations for share repurchases. The most recent mention was in May 2022, authorizing the repurchase of up to 25 million common shares. And notably, that authorization has no expiration date, giving them flexibility. Similar authorizations were also approved in 2017 and 2019, so it's a consistent part of their toolkit. In terms of execution, the report mentions that in Q2 2025, they repurchased $13.0 million of their stock.
$13 million. Not huge compared to the dividend, but it's there.
Right. The level of activity can definitely vary quarter to quarter. But this standing authorization provides management with the flexibility to opportunistically buy back shares,
right,
which can support the stock price and enhance earnings per share over the long term by reducing the share count. It's a strategic lever.
For an insurance company, maintaining a robust capital position isn't just a good idea, it's absolutely critical. They need to be able to pay claims no matter what. How strong is Progressive's balance sheet, really? And what do the leading rating agencies say about their financial health?
This raises that crucial question about financial stability and trustworthiness. And the answer is, Progressive's balance sheet is exceptionally strong. This strength is consistently recognized by all the major credit rating agencies. They truly operate from a position of financial fortress.
Fortress balance sheet. What does that mean in practical terms?
Well, when it comes to regulatory capital, AM Best, which is the leading insurance rating agency, assesses Progressive's balance sheet strength as strongest. That is their highest possible designation.
Strongest. Can't get better than that.
Pretty much. This assessment is based on their risk-adjusted capitalization, measured by something called Best's Capital Adequacy Ratio, or BCAR. And it benefits directly from their consistently strong operating performance generating retained earnings. Their actual credit ratings from all the major agencies are also top tier. They hold an A+, superior from AM Best, an AA, very strong, from Standard & Poor's, and an A, high quality, very low credit risk, from Moody's Investor Service.
So A+, AA, all very high ratings.
Exactly. These ratings place Progressive in an elite group of insurers globally, unequivocally affirming their superior ability to meet their ongoing financial and insurance obligations. And what's compelling here, going back to capital allocation, is that management consistently prioritizes reinvesting capital first to support their aggressive but profitable growth targets. Only after ensuring that strategic investment and maintaining that fortress balance sheet do they return excess capital to shareholders. It's a very disciplined, growth-oriented approach that is fundamentally underpinned by exceptional financial strength.
We've covered a lot of ground, Laura. The business model, the tech, the financials, the market position. Impressive stuff. Now, let's look forward. Progressive isn't just resting on its laurels, right? It has a clear, ambitious vision for the future. What's their long-term growth strategy? And how are they planning to leverage their current strengths to get there?
Yeah, they definitely have a long-term vision. Progressive's overarching goal is to evolve from being, you know, the dominant auto insurer we all know into a comprehensive destination. That's the word they use. A destination for a wide range of insurance and even other financial needs. For consumers, yes, but also for agents and business owners. Mm. And this ambitious goal is built entirely on leveraging and deepening their existing competitive advantages.
Okay, becoming a destination. How do they plan to deepen that moat further?
Well, a key part involves deepening the moat through technological superiority and enhanced customer experience. Seems obvious, but crucial. They plan to continue their significant investment in AI, machine learning, and telematics. This is expected to further widen their already considerable pricing and underwriting advantage. As their proprietary dataset grows even larger, more billions of miles, mm-hmm. their ability to segment risk will become even more refined.
Even more precise pricing.
Exactly. Allowing them to offer even more competitive prices to low-risk drivers and, conversely, price higher-risk segments more accurately and profitably. This precision is how they capture profitable market share. Simultaneously, they're investing heavily in an enhanced customer experience. By continually improving digital platforms that simplify everything, getting a quote, buying a policy, managing claims, Progressive aims to increase customer satisfaction and, critically, customer retention.
Make it easy to stay.
Right. A superior, seamless digital experience is a key differentiator, especially for attracting and retaining those younger, tech-savvy demographics. So for you, this means potentially more personalized and efficient service down the line, and pricing that better reflects your individual risk profile, all driven by their powerful data engine.
That makes perfect sense for their core business of personal auto, but their vision is to be a destination for all insurance needs. How are they expanding beyond auto, particularly into critical areas like homeowners and commercial lines, to fulfill that broader ambition? Is it just about cross-selling?
It's more strategic than just cross-selling. This is a crucial question about their strategic expansion. While auto insurance remains their core and their cash cow, homeowners and commercial lines are clearly identified as significant long-term growth vectors. They are expanding, but with a very specific, disciplined purpose.
Okay, how so? Let's start with homeowners.
In homeowners insurance and bundling, the strategic priority isn't necessarily to become a massive standalone home insurer everywhere. That's a tough, catastrophe-exposed business. Instead, their focus is intensely on growing the number of customers who bundle their home and auto policies.
Why the bundle?
Because bundled customers typically have significantly higher retention rates. They're stickier, much more profitable over the long term. Under CEO Tricia Griffin's leadership, the number of bundled customers has already more than doubled, soaring from 400,000 to over 1 million. They leverage their HomeQuote Explorer platform, which allows customers to easily compare and purchase homeowners policies from both Progressive's own underwriters and third-party insurers they partner with.
Ah, so they don't have to write every policy themselves.
Exactly. This approach uses the home product as a powerful tool to deepen relationships with their most valuable auto customers, without necessarily taking on all the risk themselves everywhere. Then there's commercial lines growth. This segment, already contributing nearly 14% of their total MPW, is definitely poised for continued expansion.
What's driving growth there?
Growth is being fueled by rising demand from burgeoning sectors like e-commerce, the gig economy, think ride-sharing, food delivery services, and the broader logistics industry. Lots of small businesses needing coverage. Progressive is leveraging its powerful brand and underwriting expertise to capture share in this often fragmented small business market. They offer products like its business owner's policy, BOP, which provides comprehensive property and liability coverage, now available in 46 states, and their specialized UBI programs for commercial vehicles, Smart Haul for truckers, and Snapshot ProView for other fleets provide a clear technological edge here, much like Snapshot does for personal auto.
Applying their tech advantage to business insurance, too.
Precisely. And what's compelling here is the discipline guiding all this expansion. Remember that operational goal. Grow as fast as you can, at or below a 96 combined ratio. That applies to all these initiatives, ensuring that every move into new markets prioritizes long-term profitability over just growth for its own sake.
So they're not just selling more auto policies, they're aiming to be the one-stop shop for a customer's entire insurance lifecycle, simplifying the process and making it more convenient. What exactly does this destination vision entail in terms of new products and strategic partnerships? Are they looking to become a behemoth in every single insurance line, or is there a smarter approach?
It seems like a smarter, more orchestrated approach. This truly speaks to their long-term ambition to meet broader financial needs throughout their customers' lifetimes, going well beyond just traditional auto and home. They're thinking comprehensively, not necessarily about owning every product, but about orchestrating access to those products.
Orchestrating access? How?
When it comes to product expansion, beyond their core auto and home offerings, they already provide a surprisingly wide array of products, often through strategic partnerships. This includes insurance for things like electronic devices, pets, travel, jewelry, even crucial offerings like life insurance and home warranties.
So lots of add-ons available through them.
Exactly. The core strategy here is to increase the number of products per household. This enhances customer loyalty, makes it harder for you to shop around and switch providers for just one policy, and significantly increases the customer's lifetime value to Progressive. Complementing this is their focus on strategic alliances. Progressive actively partners with other firms to offer products and services it doesn't underwrite directly.
Like the homeowners platform you mentioned.
Right. This is a capital-light approach. It means they don't have to put their own balance sheet at risk for every single new offering. It allows them to quickly broaden their offerings and generate valuable fee income without taking on all the associated underwriting risk. The HomeQuote Explorer and BusinessQuote Explorer platforms are prime examples of this strategy in action. They act as marketplaces where customers can compare and purchase policies from various providers, including Progressive, all under the Progressive umbrella. This comprehensive, orchestrated approach helps them build a truly sticky customer base, making it harder for you, the customer, to leave if all your insurance needs are conveniently met in one single place.
Okay. Progressive sounds like a meticulously engineered, well-oiled machine. Strategically expanding, leveraging technology, financially strong. But even the strongest companies face risks. No analysis is complete without looking at the potential downsides. What are some of the potential headwinds that the analysis highlights? What could throw a wrench in Progressive's carefully laid plans?
That's a crucial perspective, absolutely. No company is invincible. While Progressive has a robust business model and significant competitive advantages, it operates in a dynamic and inherently challenging environment, and there are definitely potential headwinds and risks they must continuously navigate.
What's top of the list? Probably catastrophes.
That's certainly a major one. The first risk is exposure to catastrophic events and climate change. As a P&C insurer, Progressive is inherently exposed to the risk of large losses from natural catastrophes. It just comes with the territory. The frequency and severity of weather events, hurricanes, wildfires, severe convective storms are significant drivers of earnings volatility, and they seem to be increasing.
And climate change might be making it worse.
The report suggests climate change may indeed be exacerbating these trends, making historical loss patterns less reliable for predicting future risk. The past isn't necessarily prologue anymore. A single major event or a series of smaller, geographically concentrated events could lead to substantial underwriting losses. We saw that potential with the 24.8-point impact on their property combined ratio in 2024. Connected to this is reinsurance risk. Progressive relies heavily on reinsurance to mitigate the financial impact of these large-scale events.
Buying insurance for their insurance.
Right. But reinsurance isn't guaranteed or always cheap. A hardening of the reinsurance market, meaning higher prices or reduced availability, perhaps after major global loss events, could lead to significantly higher costs for Progressive. Or it could force them to retain more risk on their own balance sheet, directly impacting their profitability and capital requirements. So for you, this means a portion of your premium is essentially a collective bet against nature's unpredictability, and that bet seems to be getting more volatile and potentially more expensive.
Okay, catastrophes are a big one. What else? Competition.
Definitely. The insurance market is also intensely competitive, with price often being the primary factor for many consumers. This creates ongoing pressure.
How does this competitive pressure pose a risk, even for a leader like Progressive?
That's an important question about pricing power and market dynamics. Even for a giant like Progressive, competitive pressures are always present and can be quite fierce. Progressive faces intense competition, not just from the other giants like State Farm, GEICO, and Allstate, but also from smaller regional carriers and increasingly new insurtech entrants who are constantly trying to disrupt the market with technology or niche offerings. Aggressive pricing actions by any of these competitors could pressure Progressive's growth rates and, importantly, their profit margins.
A price war, essentially.
Potentially, yes. The recent increase in industry-wide advertising spend, for example, signals a return to a more competitive environment for growth, where companies are fighting harder for every customer. This brings us back to pricing cyclicality. The industry is inherently cyclical. It moves between hard markets characterized by rising premiums and strict underwriting, like we saw recently, and soft markets, where premiums fall and competition becomes incredibly intense. A prolonged soft market could make it exceptionally difficult for Progressive to achieve its core operational goal of maintaining that 96 combined ratio while still growing at its desired pace. It's a constant balancing act.
We talked earlier about regulation as a barrier to entry, but you also mentioned it can be a significant risk to established players. What are the key regulatory and legal challenges Progressive faces, especially given their reliance on all that advanced data and AI?
Right. The highly regulated nature of the industry means constant scrutiny, primarily at the state level, which can both create that moat and pose a significant threat.
How so? What are the specific regulatory risks?
Well, one ongoing challenge is rate regulation. State insurance departments must approve any rate changes insurers want to make. Delays, or even worse, outright denials of necessary rate increases in key states could prevent Progressive from keeping pace with rising claims costs, directly impacting their profitability. This became a major issue during the recent inflation spike. There's also that increasing scrutiny of underwriting and AI. As we noted earlier, there's growing regulatory and public focus on how insurers use AI, big data, and non-driving factors like credit scores or occupation in setting insurance prices.
Concerns about fairness and bias.
Exactly. New regulations that restrict the use of these sophisticated underwriting tools could significantly erode Progressive's core competitive advantage in risk segmentation. It could potentially level the playing field for less advanced competitors. This is perhaps one of the most significant long-term threats to their entire data-driven business model. Furthermore, there's inherent litigation risk. Like any large financial institution, Progressive is constantly exposed to litigation related to its business practices, including claims handling, marketing, and pricing. Unfavorable outcomes in class action lawsuits or other major legal challenges could result in significant financial penalties and, of course, reputational damage.
Progressive's technological superiority is a core strength, something we've emphasized throughout our deep dive. But does that also introduce its own set of risks? Is there a tech paradox where their greatest strength also creates significant vulnerabilities?
Absolutely. Technology is definitely a powerful double-edged sword in this context. While it's Progressive's defining strength, it also introduces significant vulnerabilities that must be continuously and rigorously managed.
Like cybersecurity.
That's a primary concern, cybersecurity threats. A successful cyber attack on Progressive's extensive systems could result in a major data breach, compromising incredibly sensitive customer information, driving records, financial data, personal details. This could lead not only to significant financial losses from remediation and potential lawsuits, but also severe reputational damage that erodes customer trust and potentially massive regulatory fines. Their reliance on numerous third-party vendors for certain technology functions also introduces what's known as supply chain cyber risk, where a vulnerability in a partner system could become an entry point into Progressive's network.
So protecting the data is paramount. What about technology disrupting their actual business model?
That's the other side of the tech paradox, the risk of technological disruption to the very core of their business. The long-term evolution of automotive technology, particularly the development and potential widespread adoption of fully autonomous vehicles, poses a truly fundamental threat to the traditional auto insurance model.
If cars drive themselves, who needs insurance? Or what kind?
Exactly. This isn't just about fewer fender benders. It's a fundamental reevaluation of who holds the liability. Is it the car owner, the manufacturer, the software provider? If these vehicles become truly ubiquitous and demonstrably safer, as proponents claim they will, accident frequency could dramatically decrease. This could lead to a structural decline in the overall demand for auto insurance premiums. It could transform auto insurance from a massive personal line into something entirely different, perhaps more focused on product liability or cybersecurity for the vehicle systems. It could potentially shrink the core market dramatically and force a complete reinvention of the product itself. This raises a huge existential question for the future of the entire auto insurance industry.
A massive potential shift. Finally, how sensitive is Progressive's business to broader macroeconomic conditions, things like interest rates, inflation, or even an economic downturn? Do these economic tides have a significant impact?
Their business is indeed quite sensitive to those economic tides, yes. It impacts both their underwriting profitability and their investment income, their two primary profit engines.
How so? Interest rates, for example.
Let's consider interest rate impacts. While rising rates have recently provided that significant tailwind to their investment income, as we discussed, a sharp and sustained decline in interest rates in the future would reduce future reinvestment yields. As their bonds mature, they'd have to reinvest at lower rates. This would act as a definite headwind to earnings growth, potentially reversing some of the gains we've seen recently. Then there's inflation. A resurgence of high inflation like we saw in 2022-23 would put renewed pressure on claims costs for vehicle repairs, medical expenses related to accidents, litigation costs. This would potentially compress underwriting margins again, making it harder to achieve their combined ratio targets. Lastly, an economic downturn could also affect them significantly.
People stop buying insurance.
Not necessarily stop, but maybe cut back. A significant recession could reduce demand for insurance across the board as consumers tighten their belts. It could lead to lower policy growth, maybe people dropping optional coverages, or even higher rates of policy cancellations if they can't afford the premiums. This would impact their top-line growth. These macroeconomic factors are powerful external forces that Progressive must constantly monitor and adapt to, even with its superior data and agility.
Okay, given everything we've discussed, their impressive strengths, their formidable financial performance, but also these inherent industry risks and potential headwinds, how does the market actually value the Progressive Corporation? The report includes a comprehensive valuation analysis comparing it to its peers. What does that tell us about how investors see this company? Is it expensive? Cheap?
Yeah, evaluating Progressive's valuation requires a multifaceted approach. You can't just look at one simple number. They consistently trade at a significant premium to their peers, which we need to critically examine to understand if it's truly justified by their underlying performance or if it represents potential risk.
Okay, let's see the numbers. How does it compare?
The report compares Progressive, ticker PGR, to key competitors like Allstate, ALL, and Travelers, TRV, as of late 2025. Let's break down the comparison evaluation metrics. Progressive trades at a PE ratio, trailing 12 months, or price to earnings, of around 13.8x to 14.3x. That's noticeably higher than Allstate's 9.5x to 9.7x, and the broader industry average, which was around 12.6x at the time.
So more expensive on an earnings basis. What about forward earnings?
Their forward PE ratio, based on 2026 estimates, was also elevated, around 14.8x. However, the most significant divergence, and the one analysts focus on most for insurers, is in the price-book PB ratio. Progressive's PB of approximately 5.4x is really high. It's more than double Allstate's, which was around 2.4x, and substantially higher than the industry average of about 1.6x.
5.4 times book value, that sounds incredibly high for an insurance company.
It is objectively high. But here's the crucial context. Their return on equity, ROE, trailing 12 months, was that exceptional 35.5% to 36.5% we mentioned. That absolutely dwarfs Allstate's ROE at the time, which was around 27.0%, and is far above the typical industry ROE. Interestingly, their dividend yields were relatively similar, both around 2.0%. So this analysis clearly shows that Progressive commands a significant premium valuation in the market, particularly on a price-to-book basis.
That PB ratio difference is really stark, more than double Allstate's. Why is the market willing to pay such a significant premium for Progressive compared to its well-established competitors? What's the underlying justification?
This is truly the ROE story, the price-to-book versus return on equity relationship. It's the heart of their valuation case. For financial companies like insurers, a high-priced book multiple isn't necessarily a sign of overvaluation if it's supported by a correspondingly high and critically sustainable return on equity. And this is where Progressive's story gets really compelling.
So the high ROE justifies the high PB.
That's the argument, yes. The market is essentially willing to pay a premium for a company that can consistently generate superior returns on its shareholders' capital, its book value. Progressive's trailing 12-month ROE of over 35% is indeed exceptional and far surpasses that of its peers. This phenomenal ROE is what justifies the premium in the eyes of many investors. The high PB ratio directly reflects the market's expectation that Progressive will continue to compound its book value at a superior rate for the foreseeable future. So the relationship between PB and ROE is arguably a much more insightful way to view valuation in the insurance sector than a simple PE ratio alone. It better captures the values of a strong balance sheet combined with highly efficient capital deployment. For you, this means the market perceives Progressive as an exceptional capital allocator and earner within its industry, consistently delivering more bang for its equity buck, so to speak.
That makes a lot of sense, especially connecting it back to those ROE numbers. It's about earning power on the capital base. But is this current valuation, even with its strong ROE justification, in line with Progressive's own history? Or is it an outlier that might concern value-oriented investors?
That's an important question about historical context, definitely. Current valuations can often be distorted by the cyclical trends inherent to the insurance industry. Where are we in the cycle?
So how does today's valuation compare historically?
Well, if we're looking back to look forward, historical context and cycle-adjusted earnings, Progressive's current PE ratio of around 14x is actually significantly below its 3-year, 5-year, and even 10-year historical averages. Those averages have often ranged much higher, from 25x sometimes to over 40x in certain periods.
Wait, so it's cheaper now than it has been historically on a PE basis?
On a trailing PE basis, yes, compared to those averages. The report suggests that on a cyclically adjusted basis, meaning smoothing out the peaks and troughs of the underwriting cycle, the current valuation may actually be more reasonable than those very high historical PE numbers suggest. For example, extremely high PE ratios in years like 2022 were largely a function of temporarily depressed earnings during the trough of the underwriting cycle. The E in PE was artificially low. With earnings recovering so strongly in 2024 and 2025, the PE multiple has naturally come down, or normalized, to a more moderate level that perhaps better reflects its sustainable earning power. What's compelling here is that it really emphasizes the inherent cyclicality of the industry and how that dramatically impacts valuation metrics over time. A simple snapshot can be misleading without that historical and cyclical context.
Okay, so the PE normalization makes sense. Beyond the ratios and historical context, what's the fundamental long-term investment case for Progressive based on how it actually builds shareholder value over time? What's the ultimate goal for an investor here?
The fundamental long-term investment case for an insurer like Progressive rests primarily on its ability to consistently grow its book value per share over time. That's the real compounding engine for shareholder wealth in this sector.
Growing the underlying equity base.
Exactly, this compounding value. Book value growth and total return potential is driven by retained earnings, which come from both their underwriting profits and their robust investment income. Progressive has a truly strong track record of consistently compounding its book value at attractive rates. The report mentioned that as of June 30, 2025, its book value per share stood at $55.64, a testament to that consistent growth over many years. The total return potential for a shareholder, therefore, is essentially a combination of this underlying book value growth plus the dividend yield they receive. With a current dividend yield of approximately 2.0%, an investor's total return will largely be determined by the rate at which the company can continue to grow its underlying equity base through its highly profitable operations. And given that remarkably high ROE we keep coming back to, the potential for strong continued book value compounding remains robust, making it an attractive prospect for long-term value creation, assuming they can maintain that performance.
We've analyzed the numbers, the strategy, the market dynamics, the valuation. It's a complex picture. But behind every successful company, there's strong leadership and sound governance. What does the report say about Progressive's management team and their corporate governance practices? Are the people behind the power as impressive as the company's performance?
That's a critical piece of the puzzle, absolutely. The quality of leadership and governance are crucial qualitative factors in any investment analysis. You're betting on people as much as numbers. And Progressive clearly benefits from an experienced, long-tenured management team with a remarkably clear strategic vision. This seems to be supported by a governance framework that appears extremely well aligned with shareholder interests.
Okay, let's start with the leadership. Who's at the helm?
Let's look at leadership at the helm, management team experience, and track record. The key figure is Tricia Griffith. She served as president and CEO since July 2016, providing stable and highly effective leadership through that volatile period we discussed. But her tenure at Progressive is incredibly extensive. She didn't just come in at the top. She actually started with the company as a claims representative way back in 1988.
Started as a claims rep. Wow, worked her way all the way up.
Exactly. She rose through numerous key leadership positions over the years, including Chief Human Resources Officer and Personal Lines Chief Operating Officer. This deep, hands-on experience across various facets of the business provides her with an intimate, ground-up understanding of the company's operations and culture, which is truly invaluable for a CEO. You can't just learn that from a book.
And her track record as CEO.
Very strong. Under Griffith's leadership, Progressive has achieved that historic growth we talked about. A key strategic success highlighted is more than doubling the number of bundled home and auto customers from 400,000 to over 1 million during her tenure. That's a core strategic goal achieved. And of course, the company moved from being the fourth largest U.S. auto insurer by written premium to the second largest under her watch. A truly impressive competitive feat. Her performance has been widely recognized externally as well, including being named Fortune Magazine's Business Person of the Year back in 2018. Her long history with the company, starting from the ground up, likely imbues that deep understanding which contributes significantly to their strategic vision and, importantly, their execution.
That's an incredibly impressive background for a CEO, demonstrating deep institutional knowledge. How clearly do they communicate that strategy and vision to investors and the public? Is it easy to understand what they're trying to do?
Yeah, their strategic vision and communication appear to be exceptionally strong and transparent. The management team has articulated a very clear and consistent strategic vision to become the number one destination for insurance and other financial needs. We keep hearing that word. And this vision is supported by four very specific strategic pillars they often reference: people and culture, broad needs, leading brand, and competitive prices. It provides a clear framework.
And communication with investors.
Also notably transparent and frequent. Progressive is actually one of the few insurers, maybe the only major one, to report its key operating metrics on a monthly basis. This provides investors with a timely, almost real-time view of business trends like premium growth and combined ratio. Most others only report quarterly. Their investor presentations and earnings calls are generally detailed and consistently focus on the long-term drivers of the business, rather than getting bogged down in just short-term quarterly fluctuations.
That monthly reporting is unusual. Shows confidence. Okay, beyond the leadership team, what does their overall corporate governance framework look like? How do they ensure accountability and alignment with shareholder interests at a structural board level?
That's an important question about how the companies run fundamentally. Progressive has established what looks like a comprehensive corporate governance framework designed to ensure strong board independence and clear alignment with shareholder interests.
What are the key features of that framework?
Looking at their board structure, the board of directors has a clear majority of independent directors, which is a best practice and a requirement of the New York Stock Exchange where they trade. Crucially, the roles of chairperson of the board and CEO are separate. Chrisha Griffith is CEO, but Lawton W. Fitt serves as the independent chairperson, which further enhances board oversight. The board is also organized into several key committees: audit, compensation and talent, investment and capital, nominating and governance, and technology. And importantly, all of these committees are composed entirely of independent directors. This structure promotes robust oversight and helps prevent potential conflicts of interest.
So good structure. What about alignment with shareholders?
In terms of shareholder alignment, their stated core values explicitly include integrity, which requires adherence to high ethical standards and timely, accurate financial reporting. That monthly reporting fits here. The company also publishes detailed governance documents online, including a code of business conduct and ethics and corporate governance guidelines, all publicly available for investors to scrutinize. While the source material didn't provide specific current ratings from governance firms like ISS or Glass Lewis, Progressive's structure generally aligns with the principles advocated by these firms, things like board oversight of risks, including new ones like AI, executive compensation practices, and responsiveness to shareholder proposals. What's compelling here is the apparent intentionality behind their structure, designed to ensure independence and alignment, which is critical for building long-term trust and stability with investors.
What a journey. We've really reached the end of our deep dive into the Progressive Corporation. This has been a truly comprehensive look at a fascinating company, from its tech-driven engine to its financial resilience, strategic vision, leadership, the whole picture. What's the final synthesis of our findings? Can we sum up their most formidable strengths and maybe the most pressing concerns for you, the listener, to keep in mind?
Yeah, let's try to pull it all together. This comprehensive analysis reveals what appears to be a high-quality, market-leading enterprise. They possess a truly formidable and seemingly durable competitive advantage, rooted deeply in technology, data analytics, and operational excellence. The investment thesis for Progressive is certainly predicated on its ability to continue leveraging these strengths to generate superior long-term growth in book value per share. That's the core promise. However, the significant potential must always be weighed against those inherent industry risks we discussed, and critically, the company's consistently premium valuation. It's a nuanced picture, a true Progressive paradox, if you will.
The Progressive paradox. I like that. Okay, let's synthesize these findings. Strengths first.
Right, let's summarize the Progressive paradox. Synthesis of findings, strengths, and concerns, starting with their core strengths. First, undeniably, their technological and analytical superiority. Their deep and sustained investment in technology, particularly in telematics and AI-driven pricing, has created a significant and arguably widening competitive moat. This allows for more accurate risk selection and pricing, the fundamental driver of their superior underwriting performance. Second, their disciplined underwriting culture. That unwavering focus on the goal of growing at or below a 96 combined ratio instills a culture of profitability over growth at any cost. It's a discipline demonstrated through multiple tough industry cycles. Third, their powerful brand and distribution. A highly recognized national brand, combined with that resilient dual-channel distribution strategy, provides unparalleled market access and a robust growth engine. They can reach almost anyone. And fourth, their strong financial position. The company boasts that fortress balance sheet, evidenced by its strongest rating from AM Best and high ratings from S&P and Moody's, alongside a shareholder-friendly capital return policy.
Okay, strong foundation. Now, the other side of the paradox, the concerns.
Now, for the potential concerns. First, their premium valuation. The stock consistently trades at a high price-to-book multiple relative to its peers. While often justified, as we discussed, by its high ROE, this valuation leaves little room for error and could be vulnerable if growth slows or profitability deteriorates unexpectedly. Second, those cyclical industry risks. The P&C insurance industry is inherently subject to pricing cycles, unpredictable and potentially increasing catastrophe losses, and macroeconomic pressures like inflation and interest rate fluctuations. These can lead to significant earnings volatility, regardless of how well Progressive executes. And finally, those longer-term regulatory and technological threats. There's a potential for new regulations to limit the use of their sophisticated pricing data, which could erode Progressive's primary competitive advantage. And then there's the profound, if still distant, disruptive potential of autonomous vehicle technology on the traditional auto insurance market itself.
Okay, so powerful company, but not without risks and a high price tag. Given all these factors, if you were considering Progressive or just trying to understand it better, what would be the most critical things to keep a close eye on going forward? What's on your hypothetical investor's dashboard?
That's an important practical question for you, the listener. For an investment in Progressive to be successful over the long term, or just to track its health, you must closely monitor these key variables. They serve as leading indicators.
What's number one?
Let's call this the investor's dashboard. Key factors to monitor. First and foremost, without a doubt, is combined ratio trends. This is the most critical metric reflecting underwriting profitability. You should monitor their monthly and quarterly combined ratio to ensure it stays comfortably below that 96 target. Any sustained upward trend could signal a loss of pricing power or an unexpected accelerating rising claims costs. Second, keep a close eye on policy in force, PIF, growth. This directly measures their market share gains and top-line momentum. Track the PIF growth, especially in the crucial personal auto segment, to gauge their competitive momentum. A significant slowdown could indicate that competitors are pricing more aggressively or that Progressive is struggling to attract new customers profitably at current rates.
So profitability and growth, the core balancing act. What else?
Third, monitor the performance of the property segment. Watch the combined ratio and growth of their homeowners business closely. Profitable growth of that auto home bundle is a key pillar of their destination strategy. Continued high catastrophe losses here or an inability to achieve underwriting profitability could be a drag on overall results and call that strategy into question. Fourth, pay close attention to regulatory developments. Any proposed state or federal regulations regarding the use of data, AI, or telematics in insurance rate setting are crucial. Adverse regulations here pose the most significant long-term threat to Progressive's core business model and competitive advantage. And finally, stay aware of the broader competitive landscape. Watch for commentary from competitors State Farm, Geico, Allstate on their pricing strategies and growth ambitions. Increased industry-wide advertising and a convergence of combined ratios across the major players could signal that the market is entering a more competitive soft phase, which would definitely challenge Progressive's ability to grow profitably at recent rates.
That's a great checklist. Finally, to tie it all together, what ultimately needs to be true for Progressive's long-term success? What's the core promise that needs to be delivered year after year for that strong investment thesis, that high valuation to hold?
Yeah, ultimately, a successful long-term investment in Progressive, or just its continued market leadership, hinges on these fundamental conditions being met consistently. This is the end game. What needs to be true for the investment to succeed? First, there must be a sustainability of high ROE. They must continue to generate that return on equity substantially above the industry average and their own cost of capital. This is the fundamental justification for their premium valuation. If ROE falters, the valuation likely follows. Second, they need continued market share gains without sacrificing margins. Progressive must prove it can continue to grow its policy count faster than the industry as a whole, but critically, without compromising its underwriting discipline and pushing its combined ratio sustainably above that crucial 96 target. They need both growth and profit. Third, the successful and profitable expansion into non-auto lines is essential for the long-term vision. they need to successfully leverage their brand and customer base to grow their homeowners and commercial lines businesses profitably, thereby increasing customer retention and lifetime value, fulfilling that destination goal. And finally, the maintenance of technological lead is absolutely paramount. The company must continue to innovate and invest in technology at a pace that keeps it demonstrably ahead of competitors, ensuring its data and analytical advantages persist and even widen over time. They can't afford to fall behind on the tech front. If these conditions hold true, then Progressive is indeed well-positioned to continue compounding shareholder value at an attractive rate over the long term.
What a journey. From the nitty-gritty of telematics data and combined ratios to the high-stakes world of regulatory scrutiny, competitive battles, and valuation paradoxes. We've truly taken a deep dive into the Progressive Corporation. You should now have a comprehensive understanding of what makes this company a market leader, its formidable strengths, and also the very real challenges it faces.
That's right. You've seen how their unwavering commitment to data, technology, and that disciplined underwriting culture has allowed them to navigate a truly volatile industry and in many ways emerge even stronger. It really provides a fascinating case study in how a legacy industry player can leverage innovation, relentless innovation, to maintain and even expand a significant competitive edge and truly transform its operations from the inside out.
So what does this all mean for you? Well, next time you see a Progressive commercial, whether it's Flo or one of the others, you'll know there's a technologically advanced, data-driven powerhouse behind it, meticulously managing risk, constantly analyzing, and striving relentlessly for profitable growth. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, how many other everyday companies, brands we see all the time, are hiding equally complex, innovative, and strategically fascinating operations just beneath the familiar surface. Something to mull over until our next deep dive.